Our gospel today comes from Matthew chapter 18. Includes some of the popular verses that are used in many constitutions, bylaws across the United States and churches. Should be, I think, in almost every business. But let's hear these words from Matthew 18, beginning at verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or 2 feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep, and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if 2 of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where 2 or 3 come together in my name, there am I with them. The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, we thank you very much for your word, which has been so accurately preserved and transmitted through these so many generations. Bless us now as we focus on it even more. Pray you open our eyes and ears and hearts to what you have to say to us and how to live. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a warning label on the side of a dog's pill container. And it says, use care when operating a car. There's another one that says, on a warning label, it says, danger, do not hold wrong end of chainsaw. These are real. Another warning label on a baby stroller says, remove child before folding. That's a good idea. Or a warning label on a package of fireplace logs. You guessed it, risk of fire. A warning label on a brass fishing hook. Harmful if swallowed. Especially for the fish. A warning label on a letter opener. This kind of gets me. Safety goggles recommended. Can you see anybody using a letter opener with safety goggles on? And then there's this handwritten sign that's on the outdoor of a newspaper stand. Please do not use. machine filled with bees.
Well, obviously no one's going to use it, right?
It's a good thing they put that on there. That was actually a helpful warning label.
Most of the above warnings, like I just mentioned, sound like companies they put on warning labels on products so that they won't be sued by someone who's looking to make some money or does something really stupid.
We know that some of these things like can cause us to laugh or chuckle. But when it comes to some warnings, especially warnings that come from God, they're not a laughing matter. God doesn't give a warning unless there's a very good reason for it. All of the scripture lessons that we have today had warnings of one sort or another in them. And when someone receives a warning, the question really is, will they listen? Will they heed that warning? First, we had the other week hurricane in Houston area. And now we have the hurricane Irma in Florida as we speak. Plenty of warnings went out to people. Lots of warnings to evacuate in the path of hurricanes. And most people listened. Governors ordered people to leave, and some areas had mandatory evacuations. Homeless people, I saw one headline said, could go to shelter or to jail because they didn't want them to die. Please keep the people of Houston, of course, and also Florida in your prayers. May have had their lives completely upended. Some have lost their vehicles. Some have lost property. Some have lost everything that they have. It's hard to imagine. Warnings about hurricanes are very serious. There's somebody that I know of who was up in this area from another country who was used to hurricanes. And they were asking, you know, what should we do? What should we do up here? You know, and of course the obvious question is, well, you don't have to do anything. You know, you don't have to prepare for the hurricane up here because it's not going to be an issue. But they didn't know that. If hurricane warnings and many other important warnings are not listened to, serious consequences can happen. Very serious. The same and far more for God's warnings, right? They are for our safety here on earth, but also for eternal safety. God gives us warnings because He loves us. And God gives us warnings because God wants the best for us. When we take a look at Ezekiel 33, just a couple verses of that were read today, God describes the responsibility of a watchman and then tells Ezekiel that he was made a watchman by the Lord for the house of Israel. God warned him this. He said, so hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Did you catch that this warning was among believers? It wasn't to unbelievers. This warning was to believers. Giving warning to other believers of their sin was a matter of life and death and accountability as well. Ezekiel was responsible to other Jews. He was to give warning to try to persuade them not to sin. Doing so would remove the other person's demise or the result or consequences of their what happened to them off of him. If he did say something, the consequences would be on him as well. Then we jump over to Romans 13, and we hear a verse that was really popular. I mean, they tried to persuade Dietrich Bonhoeffer back in the 1940s, who was a German theologian who was imprisoned because of a plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler. He's a writer. He wrote Cost of Discipleship, wrote other ones as well, other books. But basically, they tried to use this against him. Because listen to these verses. There is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. The presumption in this passage is that the government's going to be doing what's right and good. That is a presumption.
They're going to do what's right and good in God's eyes.
And so we're to obey them and their laws. And I think of a verse that goes along with this from Acts 5, verse 29. It says this, "But Peter and the apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than men.'" When there's laws that are made or established that go against human beings or go against God's will, that's when we can disobey them. Matthew 18 is our gospel lesson today. And Jesus' disciples wanted to know who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Of course, they were thinking perhaps one of them might be. Then Jesus gave them this warning. "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Here we have this child being held up as an ideal, not because he is sinless, not because he's perfect, not because, maybe even because of faith. Faith isn't mentioned, but what is it about a child is that there is, like, which would you be afraid of? An adult coming towards you in a dark alley? Or a child? A little child. You'd be afraid of the adult, most likely, not the child. Why? It's like there's this humility that's in them. There's a humbleness that's in them. There's something like that. And Jesus knew that we must become like them. We must be humble. Because we know that several verses in the Bible speak about pride. That God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Also, we know that children typically inherently trust, right? They trust. We should be humble, and we should trust. Now, there's warning against these little ones, not necessarily here speaking about children, but especially about those who believe in Jesus, those who trust him. Warnings that God takes sin very seriously. And can you imagine, like it says here, he says that if we were to cause one of these little ones to sin, it'd be better for them if they were to have a millstone tied around their neck and thrown into the deepest part of the sea. That's taking sin, or causing others to sin, very seriously. We must be very cautious and careful of that. And we also know that there is warnings against looking down on, like, those who believe, or those people who are vulnerable in society. They have a direct connection to God, the Father, through the angels that are with them. We also know from this passage another warning, that lost people matter to God. Lost people matter to God. We have that illustration of the sheep. And we know that God has great joy in one person who turns from their sin and turns to him, as opposed to 99 who remain faithful and aren't lost. If those people matter to God that much, they should matter to us too. God tells us another warning too, that when people sin against us, he says, if your brother sins against you, and he says, take these specific steps to go ahead and become right with him. So he may not even know that he's sinned against you. That's one thing. Another thing is, if you bring it to his attention, he might say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't know that." Or, "Yeah, I knew about that, I did wrong." Gives him opportunity to get right with you. Very crucial. And like I said earlier, that's why these are typically involved in church constitutions, or at least referenced, that in order for things to be right in the community of believers, they need to take care of these things, because sin against another person is going to happen, or offenses are going to happen. So important to work them out. And if they won't listen to you in private because it allows them to save face, then you take another or two people with you. And if that doesn't work, then you bring it to the church. If that doesn't work, you treat him as a tax collector or other sinner like that. And how is that? With love and kindness and patience. We have lots of warnings in our text today. Lots of warnings. We remember that the reason God gives us warnings is because he loves us. And the reason he gives us warnings is so that we can live the best we can in this life. Because God wants us to live for him. Well, there's hurricane warnings, warnings from officials. How much more should we listen to the warnings that come from God? How do we do this? How does this happen? We know it's by grace through faith. We know that we're to be humble like children. We are to be taking care, really, I guess, to care for people's eternal destinies. People matter to God. And he wants what's best for them. God does not want anything between us and God or between us and other people. He wants us to do everything we can to make things right. And we do that by his power, by his strength. We don't ever have to do it alone. We do it with the help of Almighty God, by grace through faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we know that sin matters very much to you. It is so central to your love to us because you loved us while we were still in our sin. We thank you for that, God, and we pray you will help us to have a compassion and care for other people. For people who have offended us, people who seem like lesser people in society but are not. For people who may be wayward, help us to have compassion for them too, Lord. Help us to see that they matter to you, and therefore to us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.